I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Today's episode is sponsored by Future State Media, experts in off-Amazon traffic for Amazon sellers. Future State Media will build you a custom-made website to deliver sales for you on Amazon. Built to grab traffic from search engines and social media, your site can be used as a secret weapon for launching products on Amazon or just to stabilize your Amazon sales. It means you can also build an email list on autopilot. All sites come with the ability to distribute unique coupon codes and with traffic-grabbing content provided. They also include full service from Future State Media. Build an ultra-low-cost, long-lasting search traffic that is 100% owned by you. Go to futurestatemedia.com where you can download your free guide to Google SEO for Amazon sellers today. Future State Media. They said, build a brand. They meant, build your own traffic. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Amazing FBA. This is the place to be for UK-based Amazon sellers, although in fact, anyone who sells online at all, and certainly any countries, but not just on Amazon, will find today's episode useful. I think we are talking to Rory Stern of RFS Digital Media. Rory's been the best kept secret working behind the scenes to help build, grow and scale successful online companies, specifically in the realm of paid traffic. So that is the thing that he's best known for, creating ads that convert and being able to get a lot of policy challenged offers approved and running on Facebook. So Rory, welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
It's a real pleasure to be back. I'm really excited to share some more with your audience.
Yeah, so we had a good think about the whole diversifying thing last time, which is very important, I think. So we're going to talk specifically about the topic of paid traffic. And the start of this conversation was going to be about how do we implement. But as you pointed out, we've got a couple of mindset and strategic things we've got to think through first. So let's get started. How do we even get started with the topic of paid traffic?
Yeah. So I love that you said mindset. I was going to, it brought a chuckle to my face because people hear mindset and they tend to cringe and think, oh, this isn't strategic at all. But it goes nicely to the fact that one of the biggest mistakes we see people make with paid traffic when getting involved with paid traffic is not slowing down and taking the time to come up with a strategy, to develop goals. Why are you running your paid traffic? What do you want to get out of it? And I think I said to you, a failure to plan is a plan to fail. The phrase goes something like that. So really, before you even spend a dime on paid traffic, you really want to figure out, what am I doing? And there are a lot of people who teach about paid traffic, who talk about paid traffic, particularly today. In current times, over the last couple of years, paid traffic has gone from being a best kept secret to what a lot of people think they can do every day. And you hear people talk about, oh, it's so easy. Well, I'm here to say, no, it's not easy. If it were easy, then everybody running paid traffic would be multimillionaires and we'd all be laughing from our yachts in the Mediterranean or wherever we choose to drive our Lamborghinis and Ferraris. The reality is, I like to tell people, if you don't plan properly, if you don't have the right outlook on paid traffic, it is the most dangerous place to grow a business. Why? Because you're spending money. Some people value money, some people value time. I personally value time more than anything else, but I also know that money, when you're building a business, is very finite. A lot of us have more time when we're starting out, when we want to get into paid traffic, when we want to grow our businesses. We tend to have more time available than we have money available. So if you're not too careful, you can burn through a lot of money very, very quickly and end up with nothing. That's why I like to caution people. Now, at the same time, I don't want to scare everybody away, right? We want to make sure people know, yes, you can do very, very well with paid traffic. And that's why Michael made the introduction of, before we get into it, we need to do some housekeeping. We need to talk about some mindset stuff. We need to have a strategy in place before we just go out and spend our money.
Okay, so that, thank you for the warning, and you're quite right, because a lot of people can throw, and I've done it myself with Google ads in the past that were poorly structured, and Amazon ads, another great way of spending money without getting a good return if you don't know what you're doing as well. So, okay, the next question is then, how do we develop a strategy?
Well, I think ultimately the strategy boils down to, what do you want to get out of your paid traffic? What is it that you're looking for? What is the reason for doing it? You know, some common reasons for doing paid traffic. Well, I have an existing business with an existing product that's selling very well. I want to sell more of it. We call that scaling, right? Then there are people who might say, you know what? I've got, let's talk Amazon. I've got an Amazon business. I've got a top seller on Amazon, but there are some cons to having a very successful business on Amazon. We've talked about them before. Something your customers and your listeners should be familiar with, which are, you know, you don't own those customers. You can't follow up with them whenever you want. You can't solicit, you have certain guidelines for how you can solicit feedback and how you can follow up. We talked last time about how there are very strict rules about what can you include in the packaging for ride-alongs to talk to those customers. So the reality becomes, they're not your customers, they're Amazon's customers. Amazon is letting you fulfill those customers on their behalf, but you want those customers. So one goal might be, hey, I want to build an email list, or, you know, ultimately what we really want is a customer list. We want to build a customer list that we can sell more products to. We can sell more products on Amazon. We can follow up with our customers. We can get them to leave glowing reviews for us. We can interact with them and find out what other products would you like for us. That's one thing. We've talked in the past, Michael, about, you know, having that email list and running affiliate promotions to them, selling other people's products to them. It could be through Amazon. It could be off of Amazon. So you need to get really clear. What do you want from paid traffic? And I'll add one sort of asterisk before you start rapid fire with follow-up questions to that, which is, if you want to sell products, great, awesome. It might take six steps to get there. So, you know, the strategy for me really is almost always, let's start by building a list. Let's start by capturing a name and email address that we can follow up to and find out, what are you interested in? Will you buy my product? What do you like about my product? You can follow up with these people consistently. So to me, that's a smart strategy. One last caveat is, your strategy always needs to involve numbers. What are you willing to spend? What are you willing to lose? What data are you willing to collect as a result of spending and still call it or look at it as a win?
Excellent. Thank you. This is really, really great. Some reality checks. And yes, clarifying goals is really important. And in a way, any activity undertaken without having a clear goal is normally driven by something unpleasant at the sort of emotional level, like fear or greed, right? In my experience, oh, look, I've just seen an advert on Facebook that says for $97, I can become a Facebook ads genius. Click. This is probably the not right reason. But the irony is, you want to induce that kind of behavior in others, but you don't want to be doing it yourself, right? Because it's not business-like behavior. So, and thank you for clarifying. Yeah, it's got to involve numbers, data, numbers, time, and also, yeah, how much money are you willing to spend before you get it back? As you've implied before, you need to be looking at 30, 60, 90 day, yeah, rather than 6 day sort of time frame, right?
That's another great point. There is another sort of mindset and realistic strategy that you have to take into account, is that so many people, I want this to work in 24 hours. Cool. Awesome. I want to find that pot of gold with the leprechaun at the end of the rainbow. It just doesn't happen for most people. Is it possible? Sure. I've never experienced it. Is it going to happen in 3 days? Is it going to happen in 6 days? You know, anytime we take on a new client, even if they are already running ads and are very, very successful, most of the time, if an agency comes to us from another agency, or even if they've been running the ads in-house themselves, we will tell them, listen, it's going to take at least 30, 60, maybe even up to 90 days to accomplish the goals that you want. Because if you think about it, anytime you look for change, anytime you look for growth, you've usually hit a ceiling. We've gotten to here and we can't go past because of X, Y, Z. Okay. So if it's my team's job to come in and figure out, all right, why are we hitting that ceiling? What's it going to take to get past that? We're not going to be able to wave a magic wand in most cases and make it disappear overnight. It's going to take time, and people have to realize that, understand that, accept it, tolerate it. And a lot of times I tell people when we're talking overall strategy, we need to find out what your risk tolerance is. How much risk are you willing to take?
Yeah, risk tolerance is another very personal thing. My hints to most people is you'll find out what your risk tolerance is when you lose several thousand dollars and how you actually react in real life. Most people have a lower risk tolerance than they think, myself included. I used to think I was some great big hero until, you know, I lost a couple of thousand on a product here and a bit on this. And then suddenly you think, ow, that's about my limit. So, and also how quickly you come back from it, right? That's part of it. It's a bit like fitness. I remember a sports teacher saying to me years ago, Mike, you know, fitness isn't measured by how fast you run. It's how quickly your breathing and heart rate return to normal afterwards. And I think there is something about that with risk tolerance as well, which is a whole different topic. But I just mentioned a couple of rules of thumb. You know, if you're going to go and cry for 6 months or 2 years, if you lose some money versus for a week, that gives you also a bit of a flavor, right? So, okay, so look, if you're still here, we haven't managed to scare you off yet. Let's keep moving. So,
a great place to start is something we didn't touch on earlier that you just brought up.
Assuming then,
you know, one of the first questions I'll ask people is, especially when they're not sure about media, you know, media buying, paid ads, if you will. How much money do you have right now set aside that you could light on fire, flush down the toilet, put into Facebook or Google ads, and get $0 back? That is literally how much you should be willing to spend when you are first starting out with paid traffic, period. It doesn't, again, whether you're established or not. So the majority of our clients have to be willing to spend at least $5,000 a month. It actually breaks out to $4,500, so $150 a day on a 30-day average calendar month. That's what you need to have, and you need to have that mindset of, yes, I have $4,500 to spend on ads right now and know that I might not get anything back. Are you comfortable with that? If the answer is yes, we move on to the next question, which helps to clarify what we're trying to do and minimize the risk and set the right expectations. If the answer is, heck no, I don't have that, great. What do you have? Do you have 2,000? Do you have 1,000? Do you have 500? And usually when I ask that question, people find a number and they go, yes, I can do that. I can spend $500. I can spend 1,000. Great, let's divide it up over the time frame that we think we can get some good, meaningful data. Which brings me back to when you say yes, we then go, okay, so you're willing to spend that money and get nothing back in return. So now comes the good news. Regardless of what you spend, or irregardless of what you spend, you're never going to get nothing back. You might not make money back, but you will get data back. And I think, again, this calls into question something we talked about previously, but not today, which is paid media and setting goals is always about the long term. It's not about the short term. It's not about the immediate ROI. Paid traffic, like growing and scaling a business, is always and should always be about the long game. Am I doing something that's going to pay off 6 weeks, 10 weeks, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, a year, 5 years? You know, same thing with investing in the stock market, which I don't do, so don't take my advice. But, you know, you get involved in the stock market because you think, or you invest in a retirement fund because you think and plan for the future. It's going to pay off in the long run. So once we found yes, I'm comfortable with that number. Great. Guess what? Here's what we're going to find out. Do people like what you have to offer? Is it your product? Is it your opt-in, your lead magnet for building an email list, which we'll get into details of what a lead magnet is? You're going to get an answer to that question. Even if you don't get a sale, I'm going to find out, do people like your products? Well, how do I find out if people like my products if I don't get a sale, Rory? Do you get add to carts? People don't just randomly add products to carts if they're not interested in them. Now, you could say, or a skeptic could say, well, if they don't know the price and they want to see what the price is, they do. Well, yes, but that's how we interpret the data. We're going another layer now. So, you know, you're always looking at the data, the metrics. What do we get? If I've spent $100 on a $500 product and I've had three add to carts but no purchases, that's not bad in my books, because I know that selling a $500 product probably is going to cost me more than $100 in ads to get there. So three add to carts gives me some favorable data that I can now look at. Okay, if I got three add to carts, what did it take to get to three add to carts? How many clicks did I get? What was my cost per click? If my cost per click is too high, then I know that I'm not targeting the right people. I don't have the right ad message. And you start to back out and figure out, where are the holes in my funnel? And that's what it really is. Where are the holes in the sales process, in the buying cycle? Where do I need to plug the holes and fill the gap to keep getting them going through? Does that make sense?
I think it does. And I guess what you're saying is that in the end, you've got to be prepared to exchange real hard cash for data to start with. And that is not an exchange that most people like. But on the other hand, if you don't have data, and it reminds me, one of the first uses of airplanes in the First World War was not for dropping bombs. It wasn't active. It was for reconnaissance. It was for looking at the battlefield from a strategic high level, literally high level view. And people were prepared to build expensive, very, very unreliable machines in those days and to risk going up in them, because information is valuable in battle. And that's one of the things that I think distinguishes the sophisticated entrepreneur from the ones who are just going to get stuck at a ceiling, probably because their mentality is, I will only spend money to get money now, as opposed to I will spend money now to get information now, which will mean that I can position things in 6 months so that I can make a lot more money then, right? I mean, this is what always strikes me. The same is true for Amazon ads. I mean, people come to me and say, I want to make profitable, I want to launch my products and be in profit from day one. I can say to them, well, look, you can be in profit from day one if you want, but you'll sell one unit a day for a month in the Amazon sort of honeymoon period. And after that, it'll sink like a stone. Or you can spend a lot of money now, go negative on every single sale in order to try and gain market share that will pay off in 3 months' time. And it's more or less the same mentality that I'm hearing from you, which is very interesting.
It really is. And if we back up a second, we dove into the strategy of media buying. We dove into how do you figure a budget. We've glossed over an important pre-strategy, if you will, that you just brought to light with that metaphor of, you know, first planes were used for reconnaissance before they were used for their final objective of, you know, bombing the enemy and taking positions, right? Well, I said earlier, you know, some people value time over money, money over time. Everything's always an exchange. Well, if you don't have money to invest in paid traffic, the question isn't, I don't have money in paid traffic. You need to turn it into a question and go, how do I get money to set aside for paid traffic? And one of those strategies of, you know, trying to figure out will people like my products? Will I be able to get data ahead of time? Can I generate revenue to set aside? You know, if you're on Amazon, take a certain amount of your product over, or a certain amount of your profits over a certain amount of time, put it aside. Go, I'm going to put this into research and development. I'm going to put this into paid traffic. Let's say, for instance, you know, a common thing I tell clients all the time, well, you know what, Rory, I don't have money to invest in paid traffic right now. What can I do? Same thing I just told you. Go do a product launch. Go do an extra webinar to your audience. Sell 5 more units. Let's reinvest that into paid traffic. Well, I've exhausted my email list. Probably not a common problem for our amazing FBA audience, but a parallel we can say, you know, you say to these info product owners, great, go find an affiliate partner. Go talk to your friend and say, hey, I've got an offer I'd like to run to your list. I think it'll be a great match. I'll give you X amount of percentage for every sale. You've got to start asking, how do I get the money? Where do I find the money? And again, you can do it with $100. You can do it with $500. It's just a matter of how quickly are you going to get to the results that you want.
I think one of the problems we've got with Amazon selling is that we get very, very spoiled. Amazon makes it very easy to, we talked about this in our last interview, didn't we? That Amazon makes it very easy to get traffic and it makes it pretty cheap. Even if you get Amazon ads, which are not particularly cheap, but they are very quick to take effect. You generally will get sales within a few days. And I guess what we've got to wean ourselves off that kind of, you know, mother teat, if you like, and get a bit more grown up and say, if I'm going to grow my own business, I need to think instead of a 7-day cycle, like a 60-day cycle. And then you just need to, you know, I don't think it's necessarily an affordability issue. I think it's a mentality issue. It's getting comfortable with putting your cash out there and having it come back to you maybe within 90 days, hopefully with some friends, but with very powerful benefits, as opposed to putting out there for 5 whole days and then changing everything, which is what most people do, right?
It's really tough, and it's a hard position to be in. You know, you said, you know, go negative. Well, you know, in the 6 years I've been running traffic, I think we've had 3 clients who were able to go negative. So what does that mean, go negative? We had a client who was willing to spend up to $120 per sale of a $4.95 free book.
Amazing. Okay? Why would they do that?
Because they knew that after 2 months, their customer was worth $500. So the question now becomes, when you're strategizing the numbers, and this is why we spend so much time talking strategy before we get started, is now it becomes easy. If I say to you, Michael, would you be willing to spend $120 if I could tell you that 6 months from now it would turn into $500?
In essence, yes, as long as I could afford it. But then actually, if I can turn $120 into $500 within 3 months, that's an amazing ROI annualized. So I'd go and find people with that kind of cash and say, I've got this extraordinary thing that works. Would you be willing to come and invest in this machine with me?
Yeah. And then the question often becomes, at least one of my mentors used to joke, that the right answer is, how much money can I spend? Yeah. How much, like... Yeah. Take all of my money, because $120 to $500, what is that? $380 in profit. Yeah.
So that's 380% return on investment. Well, no, it was, it's like it's a 300% return on investment within 3 months. If you analyze it, that's probably like, you know, 1200, 1500% annualized ROI. I mean, my question is, okay, you know, who's got the money to fund this? Because there's always people with money out there. I'm speaking to a guy right now. He's beating me down the door on my email saying, Mike, well, I've got several hundred thousand pounds to spend potentially on this project. Will you help me implement this? But there are people with money out there. The thing is, we get so schooled in the idea that we haven't got enough money, just because if you haven't personally got the money, if you can get that kind of return on investment, people will come and invest their money with you. I mean, you know, I'm not saying I'm promising this, guys. By the way, my lawyer is probably coming out in a hot cold sweat right now, but, you know, I'm not promising this kind of money. But the point is, if you can get a return on investment, the money is out there. So my final word on that would be, like, if you don't think you've got the money, go find somebody else with the money who's not good at returning investment on it. There are lots of people with a lot of money sitting around and they don't know what to do with it. It sounds like a crazy thing to say, but it is true in my experience.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to how you kicked off the theme for this show, which is mindset and strategy. There are a lot of people out there with money. Even in difficult times, the same amount of money is getting exchanged. It's just getting exchanged in different ways, in different places. And you've got to be creative and find out where it is.
Listen, I mean, yeah, a lot of it is really mindset. I mean, people may not be spending money on certain things because they don't perceive, i.e. it's a mindset thing again, that they're getting a return for it. But if you can say to somebody, I'm going to give you an ironclad 300% return on investment within 6 months, the question becomes not have they got the money, it becomes do they believe you? And which is a fair enough question, right? But we're getting a little bit outside the subject, but in a way we're not, because the whole not enough money idea is just in your head, because somebody out there has got the money, and if you can get a return on it, they will give it to you. Promise you that some of the people, I'm just like beating them off. It sounds like a strange thing, and I don't think I'm such a great genius. I mean, I know enough about this to be able to help people, but I really am not. I know some incredible marketers. But if you know more than they do, they may still go ahead. Anyway, let's talk about funnels, because you mentioned the word funnel, and we talked about, you know, what we're trying to achieve. Okay, let's assume that we are building an email list to just do that classic Amazon thing, which is get more reviews. Let's be very specific. People like to model in getting more sales in there, And that's kind of to do with return on investment. And, you know, let's keep it clean. Let's say we want more reviews, because more reviews means better conversion rates, and that makes the whole machine work better, right? So let's assume that's that. What do we do to plan out the funnel? Because we've got this objective. We've got the idea of Facebook ads to drive it at the beginning. In fact, are we talking even Facebook ads? I mean, is it Facebook that people want to do? What is the most popular channel that people want?
Yeah, wow. There's so many questions in there. So many great questions.
Sorry,
in there. So let's see if we can. No, it's okay. So let's see how we can tease these apart. And I'm going to try and do this in order. So the first thing you said is, let's talk about the funnel elements and what's an easy thing to, or not an easy thing, but a smart thing to go after. Amazon sellers want more reviews. So how do we get more reviews? Well, we've got to get our customers to leave reviews. How do we do that? Well, because we've talked about, you don't have direct access to your customers because you're selling on Amazon. In my opinion, and you'll tell me if I'm wrong, Michael, we have to create new customers that we sort of control and then can encourage, go leave a review. Another possible, and again, see, I'm starting with strategy rather than getting into how are we going to do it. I've got to know what are we going to do. So another thought that just popped in my head, how do we get more reviews? I think this is somewhat against terms of service with Amazon. You'll correct me if I'm wrong or right or whatever, but the principle here is in brainstorming creative ideas to do this. Let's say, for instance, we want to get 10 new reviews. Well, maybe you give away your product to 20 people and say, in exchange for giving it away, I want an honest review on Amazon. If you love it, go leave a review that you love it. If you think it sucks, go leave a review that it sucks. I think you can do that, right? I think you have to be... go ahead.
That is 100% against terms of service now, unfortunately, which doesn't mean that people don't do it every day of the week, but you would want to make sure that it's the hell outside of the Amazon communication channels, let's put it that way.
So... Let me clarify, because I know once upon a time ago, you couldn't say, here's my product and I want a positive review.
Yeah, that would be absolutely, yeah, that was always against terms of service. I mean, what I'm saying is still against terms of service since about October 2016, because it's called an incentivized review, right? Because you're giving them a product for free. So that's a big incentive for them to give a positive review.
I guess what I want to get the final answer on, and your audience might be like, hello, dummy, he already said it. So you can't even say, I want an honest review.
If you're giving it in any kind of incentive, if you're giving them a reduction, or if you're giving them, for example, if you did the following, you would be asking to get your account suspended. If you just gave them an 80% off coupon and then you sent them an email saying, hi, could you give me an honest review? Because you've incentivized them to give a review by massive reduction, you would be basically asking to have your account suspended. So never do this at home. And so now the question is, obviously, how do we actually do it in real life? That is exactly what people do, but they don't do it within the Amazon ecosystem, I guess, is the point. That they give people rebates through things. Even PayPal is risky, but you give people a rebate that you pay somebody back safely away from Amazon, and you make sure that it appears to Amazon systems that you have, that they have paid 100% of the full price before they give a review. That's the safe way to do it.
So let's talk about one of the strategies that we talked about earlier when brainstorming this. And folks, by the way, this is who I am. I don't pretend to be something I'm not. So the fact that I gave an idea for a metaphor that blew up in my face that goes against terms of service.
Yeah, sorry about that, Rory. Doesn't mean you can't do it, but what it means is you want to stay outside the Amazon ecosystem to do it.
So 2 points here.
Yeah.
Number one, I will not endorse. I do not endorse what I just said. It was a theoretical, a hypothetical. And the original point I was trying to make is I'm not pretending to be something or someone I'm not.
Sure.
I had an idea. I ran it past Michael. I wanted to share a high-level concept. Michael called me out on it. I'm not going to put my foot in my mouth. I'm going to own it. I'm going to take responsibility. And there are still lessons to be learned here. So let's back up, because again, this is the important lesson that we're talking about in the strategy and the execution of this. So let's say, for instance, I just sell my product. Now I'm not incentivizing it. I'm just running an ad on Facebook to a landing page where I say, are you interested in such and such a product? They click on that product. They buy it from Amazon. But in that process of saying, yes, I want that product, I've captured their name and email before they even make it to Amazon. So now I've bought traffic. I basically bought a customer using a Facebook ad. I've captured that name and email address before they've gone to Amazon to buy. They are now on my email list outside of Amazon using a non-Amazon affiliated email system. Can I or your listeners email that person and say, hey, if you bought this product, could you please leave a review?
Well, now, that's an interesting question. In terms of Amazon terms of service, no. But the other question is the 11th commandment, don't get found out, which is, how are they going to know? If you're emailing them via, you know, auto, whatever, active campaign or AWeber or whatever, and they are replying to you on AWeber, if they do interact with you, then Amazon isn't going to know about it. So basically, it's between you and the customer. And yeah, that's basically the reality of where most Amazon sellers sit, which is technically breaking terms of service, but doing it in such a way that it's outside of either the obvious, easy, trackable thing for Amazon, or where their algorithm can easily pick up that you're doing that.
So let's do this. Again, this is sort of live in the flesh, not rehearsed. And again, I this gives me an opportunity to be real with you, Michael, and with your listeners to say, I don't endorse cutting corners. Sure. I don't endorse breaking terms of service. So let's...
Maybe reviews was a dangerous example.
But again, like the whole idea here is, this is a conversation I would have with a client. And there's going to be an opportunity when I come with where I come to an idea with a client and they say, Rory, we can't do that. And I go, okay, great. Now I know we can't do it. Let's go in another direction. So let's look at this. Let's look at something that you can do with paid traffic to Amazon. And you, again, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but you can run an ad on Facebook that captures name and email and pushes them over to buy your product. So
100%.
you could run an ad that says, hey, would you like a 25% off coupon for this product? They don't know they're going to Amazon. They opt in, they are given the coupon via email and redirected. Now you can go buy the product on Amazon. So in effect, you have acquired a customer, you've made a sale on Amazon, you've captured their name and email address, you can now follow up with them and sell them more stuff, build a relationship with them, and maybe you're not going to get a review out of it.
That's another way of approaching them. And reviews are a tricky topic because the sort of funnel that you described is, in fact, the sort of funnel that friends of mine use, like with Facebook going to email or Facebook to messenger chatbots, and is pretty effective, but somewhat risky in case you get found out. If you're trying to drive sales velocity or sales rank via particular keywords, then you can use super URLs and things that are technically kind of frowned on by Amazon, but I don't think that actively against terms of service unless you really overdo it. And then there's capturing new customers. So yeah, even then there's several different objectives you could try and fulfill, some of which are riskier than others, but some of which might be appropriate for a new product. For example, if you have no reviews, then you probably got to get some. And even if you're risking it, you're going to have to, you know, get some work done on that.
Yeah. And this also brings up another really good point, sort of in terms of what we talked about in the last episode, which was, how do we diversify? This also reinforces, what can you do to help diversify? Because you are, as I mentioned in the last episode, you are following somebody else's terms of service. You've got to play by other rules. So we were talking earlier about, you know, well, the money. How do you come up with the money? Let's say you're, this is awesome. This is, now I'm getting excited. Let's say, for instance, your objective to run paid traffic is to diversify and get off of Amazon so that you have Amazon, but then you also have another channel, be it a Shopify store, WooCommerce, funnels that we've talked about, right? There are people who build e-commerce funnels. Whatever it is, you start to own it. Well, how do I start raising money to build that store? Well, let's see if we can't drive some traffic and increase the sales that we're getting on Amazon. More profits from Amazon gives you more money to stock, to stack away, to reinvest in your business, to re— and again, folks, I want to be very careful. It's a lot easier for me to say this stuff than it is to actually go out, implement, and do it. So I'm not suggesting presto, change-o, congratulations, you've got money in your bank account. It's going to take work. It's going to be an investment. It's going to take time. There are risks involved. But again, we're talking about, how do you diversify? How do you grow your business? Small businesses don't just exist on one channel. So again, we started with reviews, but the point is, let's build an email list. The power of what you can do with your email list reaches far beyond Amazon.
Absolutely. And I like what you're just saying, because what it implies to me is that there's often— people get so obsessed with the idea of scaling as if it's the only real business objective anyone has. But actually, what you just implied is it's a pivot. It's consciously raising money via sales on one channel, Amazon, in order to build relationships and your own lists on to ultimately be able to sell more via another channel, which would be your own Shopify or Magento or WooCommerce site, which I think is a very, very valid thing to do. And right now, I would be pushing really hard for that, because we just don't know what's going to be happening with FBA and fulfillment over the next few months. But it could well be that they just say, we are going to fulfill only hand sanitizer, towels, dog biscuits, and food. So if you're selling anything else, you may wish to be right now driving very consciously, making money on Amazon while you can, in the expectation that that may be taken away from you. Quite apart from the old common or garden, you've offended against the terms of service and we're going to suspend your account, which happens more frequently than you'd want to think.
Here's another— we're really good at metaphors and telling stories, right? So here's a great parallel. Think about the mom and pop e-commerce business that gets a number of SKUs inside of Walmart. Okay, Walmart here in America is considered to be like the holy grail of getting your product into the shelves across their stores because of the volume of business that you can do. And I know people who have products at Walmart. They don't just stop with Walmart. They then look at, hey, can we get into Home Depot? Can we get into Lowe's? And for those of you overseas, those are, general home improvement and lumber stores where you buy building supplies. Why is it that, certain businesses— we were working with a supplement company who has their products on the shelves of Walgreens, CVS, large pharmacy stores throughout the entire United States and probably other places in North America. Why is it that they want to have their own direct-to-consumer channels of selling their own products too? Diversification. You don't want to rely on one store. What happens if, say, for instance, one of those stores files for bankruptcy and goes out of business?
Which, by the way, is probably exponentially more likely right now than it was, 4 weeks ago, right? Yeah. I mean, they won't have any customers right now anyway.
Yeah. So I think the point here is sort of what we talked about last week, which, it all bleeds together. Why do you build an email list? Why do you do paid traffic? Why do we recommend being on more than one platform with paid traffic? Diversification, 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 because one is the loneliest number. So if you're relying just on Amazon, which I love, love, love Amazon FBA, I'm not here to bash it. I think it's brilliant. I know a lot of people who make a lot of great money and sell a lot of great products in a way that they never would before. But again, the overarching theme of the times right now and what you're always up against is, if you're relying on one thing and something comes along to change that one thing, when you have diversification, you're more able to take the blow and recover than if you're relying on one.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great message on which to end this episode, because mentality we've had with a lot of people who've been selling on Amazon for, it's about a decade, and it's been a decade of really rampant— it's massive growth is what I'm trying to say. So in fact, the reality has always been that there is growth and scaling, and then there is survival and being robust enough to deal with whatever blows life throws at you. And right now, we're suddenly very conscious of the need to be the latter. So that value of diversifying, that value of robustness in your business is exponentially more valuable than it was a few weeks ago, but it was always valuable. And I guess I hope that this message, therefore, is going to, you know, find more resonance than it would have done, because whether it was 2019, 2018, 2017, that it was still true is just very obvious now. So, Rory, thank you for talking about that. And we'll certainly get you back on to talk about the implementation piece, because people want to probably see, you know, the nuts and bolts of that. But we've talked strategy, and I don't make any apologies for that, because as you say, there's a course born every 5 seconds now on how to make some money on Facebook. So I'm grateful for that strategic thinking. Any final thoughts to send us away with today?
I mean, to a degree, I do feel bad we didn't get to the implementation, and I think we both knew it may come to this, but I really do hope for our listeners that they do understand just how valuable and important the strategy is. If I can end on that note of strategy being more important than tactics, what you're seeing in the marketplace right now with businesses shutting down and not being able to thrive and survive in difficult times, it's because they're largely tactical based. It's because a lot of them didn't diversify. It's because a lot of them jumped in, rode the wave, and didn't shore up their foundation. And I will be honest with you. If you were to come to work with me, for instance, this is how we're going to spend the bulk of our time, is strategy, 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 strategy. Implementation, once you know how to do it, is very easy. It's the strategy that is hard and deserves the most time. And I'll just add on to that, Michael. I'm not saying that running paid traffic is easy. Once you learn how to do it, it can be easy. There's a lot that goes into it, and strategy is by far and above and beyond the most important element of it all.
Great. Rory, thank you very, very much for that very interesting insight. And we'll get you back on to talk about how to do the implementation piece in next episode.
Great. Sounds good. I look forward to it.
Thanks. Me too. Thank you, Rory.